Good morning. It's 8:17. It's Galesburg's Morning News. Tom Meredith, Tyler Gumm, Nick Isher. Joined this morning by 74th District State Representative Dan Swanson. I'm moving you up in the world, Dan. Good morning. Dan Swanson joins us here this morning. How are you today?
Good. Thanks.
I'm sending you to Washington already, man.
We're going to leave that up to Esther Joy King to
there we go.
Go to Washington
there we go.
For us.
Dan Swanson joins us here this morning, 74th District State Representative. And Dan, thanks for taking some time with us here this morning. I know it's we were just talking off the air a little bit, getting ready to get busy with the harvest coming up really soon.
Absolutely. We're just right around the corner. You know, we see a lot of combines rolling, and whether it's beans or corn or whatever they're doing, we just hope they're all safe and take time to do a good, clean harvest and be safe while we're doing it.
Yeah, and I guess we need to also remind people out driving, especially on the rural roads, whether it's 150 or 17 or 34 or whatever, country roads, be aware of that. Be aware there's going to be some slow-moving vehicles, whether it's a tractor or a truck pulling grain wagons or the combine itself, whatever the case may be.
Right. We take up a lot of space on the road, and we appreciate you taking the time to let us get to our next field. We want to get there as fast as we can, but we're only allowed to go so fast with our pieces of equipment. The roads are only so wide, and you know, we hit a bump with a combine or a bump with a tractor, it's just as bumpy as it is for that car.
Yeah.
And we might even feel a few more of them.
Well, and the other thing is the farmers or producers are helping us out. We're going to be able to see for miles and miles again soon.
Absolutely. And then next thing we'll be doing is chasing all the deer out on the road.
Well, there's
so
that
be
too.
Careful of that too.
There is that. All right. Well, a lot of things happening, of course, nationally and always here in the state of Illinois. I know the governor had a press conference yesterday, and I don't know am I the only one that it bothers that he's there. To me, he's touting, like, look how much money I'm making, when he calls a press conference to talk about how many tests we're doing when he's got ownership in three different companies making COVID-19 test kits. I mean, that's the way I took it. And am I the only one?
Well, we all look at that, and we've all been reminded as we brought that up amongst ourselves that it's now a blind trust. He doesn't see that. But certainly when you've got billions, your only thing in mind is to make more
right.
money. So.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but the fortunate part of it, we are doing more tests, and here locally, we're doing a good job.
But the other thing he said was no football, which I know a lot of parents and coaches and players went to Springfield and gathered at the Capitol. There was a group of them in Chicago that did the same thing, and his answer was the same. Yeah, no, I don't care. The NFL's playing. I don't care. All the other states are playing, or most of them. Doesn't matter.
No, that's right. And it's, you know, our youth have really, we've let them down in so many different ways, I feel, whether it's through education or athletics or just their social atmosphere of being with each other. And, you know, as a parent, we trust our children will do what we tell them to do or expect them to follow the rules just as well. And I think that there are some extremes we're going to that maybe we didn't have to. And, you know, it's our nursing homes that we need to best protect, and our youth seem to be less likely of having really severe complications.
74th District State Representative Dan Swanson joining us here this morning. Well, one of the big things that we're hearing, there's a lot of advertising both ways on the quote-unquote fair tax. And I think what people need to realize, and some of the very few arguments on social media I see for it, but those arguments I do see for it, well, they can already tax as much as they want, so it's not really that big a deal. Well, Number one, it's a constitutional amendment. So basically, the Illinois state government, the way it sounds to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, will just have carte blanche to tax anything and everything as much as they want, including retirement tax, death tax, and those type of things.
Right. And what it does, too, is it changes the mechanism where today to pass a tax bill in the General Assembly requires 70 votes or three-fifths majority of either chambers. And this will allow us to do it the simple majority, so one over 50%. So that's a big change, especially, you know, as we look right now, the composition of the General Assembly, 77 or 74 majority party members, 44 minority parties are Republicans. So they've already got it in hand to do it, but potentially it could get an easier avenue for them to go to raise our taxes.
Well, and I give them credit, was smart on their part politically to call the fair tax. However, in Illinois, we've got a flat tax. I don't think taxes could be more fair than a flat tax. Everybody pays the same rate. So if you make $1 million a year, you're paying a whole lot more than the person that makes $10 a year. I think that's what people need to understand, that it's fair the way it is right now.
Right. And yeah, I can't argue against that. That's as I see it, it's fair as it is. You know, we go to the grocery store, we all pay the same price. We go to this Sears or any local store or whatever, we pay the same price as someone else. So that seems to make it fair.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan Swanson, 74th District State Representative, joining us here this morning. And, you know, I think it probably upset the governor's people when the treasurer had, you know, he kind of let leak this, like, oh yeah, then we'll be able to do a retirement tax and this and that, kind of let out what, you know, kind of what the, it almost sounds like what the plans are. It's like, well, no, we're taxing the rich. Well, that may or may not be, but I mean, extra taxes on those people, they have the means to leave the state. And yep, there are a lot of people doing that. So, you know, what are you going to do when there's no rich people left to tax?
Right, actually. And if you peel that onion back, how many of our billionaires actually have money in the state of Illinois? It's not right. Some offshore sites, which some are quite common and known to have done. And, you know, not even at that billionaire level, but some of the millionaires may have some offshore money or investments that, you know, they pay people a lot of money to help them fight down their taxes. So
yeah, well, and that's the thing. It's not, you know, even federally, it's not really the tax code that's the problem. It's loopholes that are the problem.
Right, and I'm just going to pull something up here. It seems, I want to make sure, in 2018, we talk about rich people, those over $1 million in the state of Illinois, I believe it's tax year 2018, it was less than 25,000 people over that $1 million area. So it doesn't take 10% of that. We've lost a lot of revenue.
And my guess is there's fewer than that at this point.
Absolutely.
Also.
Absolutely. Yeah, most likely.
So that is a big one. And, you know, my suggestion is to vote against a fair tax because it's really not a fair. The current tax we have is a fair tax. And I know one of the other things the governor has come out, I saw one story saying that, oh, we're going to have to make some cuts if this doesn't pass. Good. See, that's the problem all along. It's like whatever new revenue we've got, and I don't even believe that would resolve the problem. I don't believe if we get federal bailout money that would solve the problem either. We have a spending problem. We need to make cuts is where it needs to start.
Right, absolutely. And as we saw this year in the budget, you know, the governor overspent $6 billion. And unlike you and I, we can't go to the bank to borrow that type of money when we overspend our budget. So he's borrowing $5 billion from the Federal Reserve, first time ever a governor's been able to do that, and then bonding out $1.2 billion. And we're going to be paying back $500 million. It's a 10-year, $5 billion note. We're going to have a minimum principal payment of $500 million a year just to pay that money back. And so this progressive tax is to bring in $3.2 billion. There's $2.8 billion short already of what they like to spend. So the standard, the bar has been set of what they want to spend. Now it's to bring those taxes up to that bar. Instead of lowering that bar to what we can afford, we're going to move the taxes up to afford the bar.
Yeah, yeah, and it's always been said you can't tax your way to prosperity.
And we're learning that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 74th District State Representative Dan Swanson joining us here this morning. I don't know, Tyler, you got like $5 billion we could borrow, perhaps?
Maybe just one.
just $1 billion or $1.
But I'm going to need an IOU.
Dan Swanson joining us here this morning. So, one of the other things, and the president has said as far as, you know, federal money, and they're talking stimulus package and what the state of Illinois and some others that are in deep problems like we are, basically want a federal bailout, and you know, the president says, like, yeah, that's not our job to bail you out. And one of the other things the governor said about this fair tax, hey, we can finally get back to where we need to be. Well, it's like some of the people that have put us in this situation, you still see them in Springfield. They're still involved in what's going on. So right. It's not going to solve the problem just getting the money.
No. Those who like to spend just keep getting reelected. And, you know, we don't get different results with those elections. And that's what we need to change. And, you know, the some real money, $5 billion to borrow $5 billion without the interest. And that's, we just need to look at our spending. And, you know, there's laws we in the General Assembly are supposed to provide the governor what we have in revenues. And that's what we're supposed to build the taxes from. But in the 4 years I've been there, we as a caucus have presented legislation to go with the Constitution. And we haven't seen that change. And, you know, we're willing to open up the Constitution on something like this, but we've got fair maps. Remember the fair maps, how we all right. Sign petitions on that, or maybe term limits. There are some other things that we could open the Constitution up that would really matter to people. That, but we seem to have cherry-picked this one.
You know, it's got to be frustrating to be a Republican in Springfield, obviously. You're in the minority in both houses. So what, and let's talk about, because you're up for re-election again, let's talk about what it is your focus. Obviously, you want to help fix the state, but there's only so much you can do, you know, no matter how you vote. The majority is on the other side. So is it more, is it a case of concentrating on doing things for the 74th District or a combination thereof?
It's kind of a combination, but what my focus has been in the last, I'm going to say 3 years, because the fourth year, it was a different year. We didn't present very many pieces of legislation, but by reaching across the aisle, I've been able to pass 14 pieces of legislation that have really had some impact here in our district, with whether it's a Lyme disease or some vet suicide legislation or other things that have helped our businesses. Pretty proud of what I've been able to accomplish. But in the same respect, is, you know, by working across the aisle, you build a reputation and you build an understanding that I'm not going to be with you majority party members on this legislation because it doesn't fit what my constituents want, whether it's a gas tax or other taxes or some of these mandates that we pushed onto our counties. I can't support those type of legislation. They understand that, but they're willing to work with me on my own piece of legislation, which you know, means that you've got to build that relationship. And I've got majority party members that have come over and asked me to support their legislation. Jonathan Carroll, a good Democrat friend of mine, has been with me on legislation, actually brought me a bill to carry for him because it was about veterans, and I've kind of been targeted as the guy that can carry veterans legislation, and did that with the Cold War license plate 3 years ago. So, you know, it's very frustrating, but there are those rewards, and certainly with our numbers, it's hard to defeat anything. You know, we need to fix the ethics problem in the General Assembly, and that's one of our targets for this year. We tried to do some work on ethics at our the special session in May, but of course, the Speaker wouldn't bring it forward, and we've seen, you know, in the last few years, I've been 3 senators and 1 state representative been hauled off because of federal charges. And, you know, it's not state stuff, it's federal stuff.
Right.
And that gets to be pretty serious. And there's some ethics issues that need to be fixed.
Yeah, it's pretty surprising that the Speaker of the House won't bring forward ethics legislation. That's just pretty amazing. Huh?
Yeah.
Can't understand it.
Yeah. Tyler, do you want to weigh in on that one with us?
No.
Ethically speaking, no. Right?
No.
74th District State Representative Dan Swanson.
It wouldn't be right.
Joining us here this morning. Yeah, that's one of the good things with the current administration federally. There's more. I mean, obviously, the Speaker is one of them that's being looked at. And if anything comes down there, I just have a feeling that there's going to be dominoes falling because he's not going to go quietly if that happens.
Right. You know, we as a caucus have enacted a rule that puts together a committee that must call witnesses before the committee. And there's been a lot of back and forth between the Fed's investigating team of what can be said, what can't be said, who can be brought forward, who can't be brought forward, and the federal investigators have left it somewhat wide open that witnesses can be called, but these are specific parameters that you can ask them the questions. And the results of that committee, there are basically 3 things that can happen. Nothing, or the leadership could be pulled from the Speaker, or banned from the House. So,
you know, that's a prime example. And I understand both sides of the argument on term limits, but, you know, that's a case where it's like, man, we need term limits because of something like that. Because what's happened is, you know, my thought is, and I've asked other representatives working in other parts of the state before, well, why is it that the people, those in the legislature keep electing him as the Speaker? It's like, well, because he's been there so long, he's got that much power, and he can make your life miserable if you don't vote that way. And that's why he always has a majority vote to become the Speaker again.
Right, especially when he's chairman of the Illinois Democrat Party. He's throwing millions of dollars at candidates right now that are in tight races. And you know, he's the man with the money for candidates when they want to get reelected. That's who they go to. And it may not say his name specifically on it, but it may go through 1 or 2 candidates to get to that candidate who's in that tight race. So, you know, that's some of the bigger issues of so many dollars in these campaigns today. And, you know, it's some things that need to really be, and that was fixed one time, if you remember that.
Yeah.
A few years ago.
Right. Yep. Well, it's been obviously a strange year, 2020, everything going on. Next up would be the veto session. What's online for that? Any legislation you have there? What will happen? Or is there anything that's really key coming up in the veto session?
Well, I think one of the key things that's coming up is some justice reform. A lot of discussion of what may be brought up, whether it's education of our police forces or those who provide our protection and services. Some additional training possibly for them, and then even some more justice reform legislation of as we go into our court systems and things. So I think it's going to be a busy session. Some have suggested it would only be 3 days long, but the speaker came out and some of the membership and said, no, we will be there all 6 days. Of course, we again, and we did hear some of our majority party members discuss ethics this past July, come forward with some of their proposals. In the past, we've had 8 to 10 pieces of legislation we'd like to push on ethics. So, you know, we just need to come together and fix some problems that really need to be taken care of during this veto session. And the veto session is right after the election. Most likely we'll know who has won and who has lost. So, you know, it's always difficult to know what's going to come out of a lame duck session like that. So.
Do you expect many changes in the legislature? Obviously, on the Senate side, Senator Weaver from Peoria, has part of our district, is not running for re-election. Do you expect many changes overall? Do you expect close races, or are there people like Senator Weaver that aren't running again that you're aware of? Or
well, what we've had several members have moved over to the Senate, so there's some first-time candidates there on the majority side, but. You know, when I started this job 4 years ago, I was license plates 118. Now I'm sitting with 83.
Oh, wow.
And just with those who have left the House, I'm already down in the low 60s.
Gosh.
So, you know, and that's where we talk about term limits. You know, a lot of us are very, are pretty much under that 8 years, 6 years. And when you've got the speaker and over 40 and others with many years, it brings those numbers up. But, you know, it's kind of a new assembly. And what we, you know, what really needs to happen is limits on leadership within the chambers and to prevent future Madigans or people like him.
Yeah, which makes sense, even because you can have term limits without having term limits. It's, yeah, the leadership, that's such a huge thing.
Right. And you know, and because we do build some relationships, and that's what it takes to be there a year or two or three or four to actually build those relationships. You know, I was a freshman once, and that's how you're treated as a freshman. Still with respect, but still you're treated as a freshman.
Yeah. New kid on the block, right?
Absolutely.
74th District State Representative Dan Swanson joining us this morning. Dan, anything else we need to know about? Obviously, I know you want big thing, people get out and vote.
Absolutely. You know, the biggest thing coming up, of course, is this election, and actually the voting starts, tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so.
The 23rd of September is when voting starts, and you know, the vote by mail is or what I termed it as absentee ballot. When I was in the military, I voted quite often absentee ballot, but you know, we are seeing a lot of issues with what's going on there, especially when I've got people who lived in Tennessee or South Dakota for a couple years, and they're getting letters from Jesse White saying, hey, don't forget to vote and sign up for your application to vote. And that's one of the issues I need to drill down into. Why is this going on? And I've just brought aware of that this morning with some of the messages I've gotten. So something I've got to look at. But, you know, and you know, here locally, Scott Erickson at the county level is just pulling his hair out with trying to meet the new guidelines that he has to follow because we didn't give him very many. A lot of them's being made up. You know, we're building the aircraft as we're flying right now in this vote by mail, it seems.
Yep, absolutely. State Representative Dan Swanson, 74th District, up for re-election. And again, starting tomorrow, you can cast your ballot. And that's the main thing. Do your civic duty to get out and cast a ballot. And again, we've talked about this before. We talk about it with all the candidates. It's, you know, and yes, we know with it being a presidential election year, a lot of people are going to get out and vote. But next year, the same thing, because or in the spring, whether it's, you know, mayor, alderman, county board, things like that, those are the races, and including the 74th district, the issues that affect your life more on a day-to-day basis than a presidential election.
Yeah, and on a day-to-day basis, when you talk about that, some of what we're doing now, since this pandemic started, we've helped about 350 people with their unemployment insurance. You know, it seems every day we're getting several calls about, hey, I applied a long time ago and I'm not receiving money. So, you know, we reach out to a person from the IDES, the Illinois Department of Employment Securities, to help this person out. And FOID cards, we're back into that mess continues on with, you know, now people having difficulties picking up their guns once they buy them at Farm King or some other gun store. So, you know, just some of those issues going along with all the others of needing help on cemetery care or things like that, right, that, you know, that happen.
Yeah, I think people don't realize the calls about things you get. And there's probably some things that, like, aren't within, I wouldn't say jurisdiction, but within your job. But what you do is try to lead them to where they need to get the help.
Right, right. We try and get the answer for them. Of course, there are some federal things. Social Security we can't help with. The stimulus checks, whether or not you received it, unfortunately, that's something I can't help you with. You have to call either Congresswoman Bustos, or I help them with getting connected with Senator Duckworth, who's been very helpful on that. So, you know, it's the phones never stop ringing, it seems.
Absolutely. State 74th District State Representative Dan Swanson joining us here this morning. Representative, thank you so much. And again, we appreciate what you've done for our country, serving in the military and serving our state as well.
Well, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to come in here and visit. And I think I'm on my way to Innkeepers now.
Yeah, well, good. Yeah, we get a freebie there, and let's keep the cigarette advertising off, right?
right. Thank you very much, and all the farmers and all the business people out there, have a safe harvest, and to the business people, best of luck as we continue forward here.